The Teal Independents have become a familiar sight on the parliamentary crossbench and are often referred to as a collective, but there are reports in several newspapers today that this so-called collective might be formalised with discussions of talks for a new political party. Zali Steggall is the independent MP for Warringah and joins me now in our Parliament House studio. Zali Steggall, good to have you here. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
What's happening? Are you in talks?
Well, look, I'm always open because, of course, I'm in my third term and after 7 years in Parliament, I can see how there are many things we could do politics better and differently. And I think a lot of people in the Australian public are really frustrated with the major parties. There's an inability from Labor to do the things people want to see, you know, tax on gas exports, truth in political advertising, gambling advertising reform. And on the other side, you have the coalition lurching to the right. They've now put Tony Abbott back in charge. And you see the rise of One Nation. And many are very, very worried about what that means for Australia, where we're heading as a country. So for me, I take that responsibility really seriously that we have to keep evolving and looking at how do we best serve our communities.
So how far progressed are these discussions? How would you describe it?
Well, sorry, there's no announcement for you here this morning. But we obviously, over the course of the last 7 years, for me, I've worked with my fellow members on the crossbench a lot across both houses, the Senate and the House. And I can really see how we find efficiencies. We work together in supporting one another where we agree on policies and our communities are aligned. But we also disagree on many things and do freely. And I think that's the best of politics, where we have that freedom to be true to our communities and the issues. But how do we work in a more, I think, collaborative way to be more effective in holding government to account and avoiding a divisiveness in Australia.
So again, how far along are things?
Well, things are, you know, there are conversations. That's about all I can say at this point.
What does that mean?
It just means that there are conversations that I'm of consulting with my community, looking at what the options are, how to do it. There's a lot of speculation in the media, not all of it correct, may I say. For me, it's about actually listening to the community. So I spent yesterday at the markets down in Manly listening to many young professionals really frustrated with the state of politics, where they feel like the major parties just don't listen to them. So they are frequently asking me, please, would you give us more opportunities, more options? And, you know, I'm an Olympic athlete. I love competition and I love choice. So this is a great arena.
Who's initiated these discussions?
Oh, I don't think there's anyone in particular. We're all, if you look at independents, everyone is looking at how to best serve their communities. There's no, from my perspective, I have been engaging with how do I best develop impact on the policies that Warringah wants me to pursue.
Why now?
Well, I think we're seeing Australian politics in an incredible time of flux, where there's huge frustration and unhappiness with the major parties. You see the coalition lurching to the right. The rise of One Nation is really concerning for many in our community. Australia is the most multicultural, multi-faith nation in the world. I love that. I love that we are a successful nation. Our diversity, being a country of fair go, that's what I love. That's what I loved representing at the Olympics. So when you have a rise of blaming, and I appreciate a lot of people are angry and frustrated, but you have to turn that into positivity. You have to turn that into constructive policy, not just blaming others and trying to take away. So I think there is a huge sense of disquiet with where Australian politics is at. And I think it is my responsibility and others' responsibility to step up.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the independent member for Warringah, Zali Steggall. How much are the new electoral funding laws guiding some of the decisions here? Because being a standalone independent, the view is that you'd be disadvantaged financially.
Well, I think you'd probably remember I had a bit of a showdown with Don Farrell when those laws were introduced. I'm not impressed. I think it was the major parties trying to rig the game for their best interest. And that did also force me to look at the setup and the disadvantage there is in being a community independent versus a major party. The spending caps, the donation caps, there are many things that favour major party structures. And And again, the public was incredibly cynical about that move, that it's yet again major parties trying to rig the game for their benefit.
If an independent is in a party, are they still an independent? Could you lose some votes? Is there a political risk there?
Of course, and that's why the representing your community is the most important thing to do. And, you know, the media always dubs us teal independents, but ultimately I'm a community independent, right? I came out of a community movement. It's with the support of the community that I represent Warringah. And that remains core to, I think, this movement is how do we give more communities a voice? So how do we actually evolve and expand the community movement so that communities that don't currently have the option of voting for an independent have more choice? I think that's a really interesting challenge for us.
Yesterday on Insiders, independent ACT Senator David Pocock didn't rule out joining a political party. Have you reached out to him?
I've had discussions with David, as I have with many others. Only independents, though. Speculation about, you know, discussions with Liberals. I certainly have not had those discussions.
Any moderate Liberals?
No, I have not had those discussions.
Have other independents been having discussions with them?
That's for them to discuss. I think, this is about, to do the sporting pun, it's, you know, meeting the field of play. Australians are frustrated. They want some things to change. The major parties are not proving themselves capable of that change, of addressing the issues that so many Australians want addressed.
Is it correct that former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has been involved in some of these discussions?
No. I mean, I've talked with Malcolm over my three terms of Parliament at various times, and we've certainly talked about the movement and the community movement and, you know, why I chose to be an independent when I entered politics and taking on Tony Abbott, but no.
Do you think that there would likely be some kind of party of these community independents by the next election?
Look, I think, again, when I look at the Australian political landscape that is changing so dramatically. I mean, the polling recently showing that One Nation's surge to becoming the major opposition, to me, is really concerning, because that is a party of grievance, where they complain and they blame a lot, but they don't have constructive solutions and they divide Australians. I'm a glass half full kind of person. I want Australia to be united and strong, and where communities have more choice and voice.
As you briefly mentioned, the former member for Warringah, former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, is the new president of the Liberal Party. What do you think about that?
Well, it says they have heard nothing from the last three elections. It's certainly in Warringah, but also around urban Australia, where it's clear that the Australian public, the sensible public, wants rational policies. They don't want culture wars. They don't want blame game. They want something constructive. Now, Tony Abbott, we know, is, you know, and the coalition currently want to repeal net zero, which means taking Australia out of the Paris Agreement. Let's be really clear about what that means. They want to blame migrants who have actually built Australia, right? So much of our nursing, construction, GPs, I mean, so many industries rely on people coming to Australia on that promise of the fair go and the idea of building their lives here. The divisiveness is toxic, it shows, putting Tony Abbott in charge just shows they have learnt nothing.
Just finally, the continued fallout on the federal budget. You've written to the Treasurer with your concerns around changes to capital gains tax and the impacts it could have on business investment. Do you want the tax changes restricted to property only?
That is my primary position, yes, because I think there's a fair amount of social license for that. There's a recognition that we need some demand levers for first homeowners to be able to go to purchasing property and not have to compete against investors as much. But so many millennials and young professionals are incredibly blindsided and angry by the proposition in the budget that, for example, they work hard, they pay their taxes, the little bit of extra money they have, they invest it in ETFs, in shares, for example, in the hope of building a little bit of a buffer, and now the government is reaching in to tax that at a much greater rate. So they feel incredibly frustrated and blindsided by the move. Small business, the family trusts, it's about 200,000 to 250,000 50,000 small businesses that will be impacted by these proposals. So I hope the Treasurer and the government are going to be sensible and have some discussions. We're hearing they want to do a carve out for tech, but I don't think you should be picking winners. I think innovation, entrepreneurial activity should be encouraged for productivity. We shouldn't just be picking one sector. I don't support the move for beyond property investment.
Zali Steggall, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.